C1AP. Number 10B.
You know, Jesus also could see that. And he was always stressing that the revelation and the revelator are one, that they cannot be separated. He said, "He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." You see? Or he said, "He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." So God and he was always one. "He that hateth me, hateth my Father also." That's how she started out. The very first thing is that we don't hate our neighbor, because we hate God. And then we cannot be the woman that can bring forth the idea. Now, we go on in the text, and it becomes more and more interesting and quite exciting as we go on. On page 561, line 5, Agassiz, through his microscope, saw the sun in an egg at the point of so-called embryonic life. Now watch her explanation. And always watch, does she really explain the verse under consideration, or does she say something else? Now, the verse in Revelation doesn't talk about Agassiz, and doesn't talk about the sun at the point of so-called embryonic life. Because of his more spiritual vision, then John, now she comes to Revelation, saw an angel standing in the sun, but that is not the quote that she has here, because the angel standing in the sun comes only in Revelation chapter 19, way back then, somewhere else. So she does not, again, interpret the text. She speaks about the sun, but not yet about the text under consideration. Then she goes on and says, the revelator beheld the spiritual idea from the mount of vision. That's what he did, huh? And now, she says, purity was the symbol of life and love. With that purity, afterwards, she means the sun. That woman was close with the sun. She begins to interpret the woman close with the sun. Can you see? So purity was the symbol of life and love. Why life and love? Why not life, truth and love? Why not truth and love? Why life and love? These are the questions you have to ask yourself. I will come back to it. Then she says, the revelator saw also. Can you see? She says, also. As if that indicates that she is trying to give states and stages of that symbol of the sun. First the sun in Agassiz's conception. The sun then as the angel standing in the sun. Then the woman that is in the sun, a symbol of purity, of life and love. Then the revelator saw also the spiritual ideal as a woman clothed in light. The woman clothed in light, clothed with the sun. Then she goes on, as a bride coming down from heaven, wedded to the Lamb of Love. That is not in this verse. That's something that comes way back then in Revelation, round about Revelation 19 or so. You see. Then the bride coming down from heaven wedded to the Lamb of Love. To John, the bride and the Lamb represented the correlation of divine principle and spiritual idea, God and his Christ bringing harmony to earth. Can you see the whole paragraph, which has the marginal heading of espousal supernal? is actually a whole range of explanation that covers Revelation. Because, as we'll see, that symbol woman standing in the sun will be seen on various levels of consciousness. It will finally come up to the bride, finally come up to the wife, as whether to the Lamb of Love, and show the correlation of bride and lamb. But at this point, really, she wants to show we are only at the point of showing that the woman clothed with the sun symbolizes that purity as a symbol of life and love. All the rest are anticipating the explanation of what is coming afterwards. When the woman's state of consciousness is elevated and exalted to the state of bride and of wife as the Lamb's wife. So, we have to see what we have to take out of this text in order to see the place value of the of Revelation 12. That she shows here that purity is the symbol of life and love. Then the next paragraph will show us that, what she means with it, when she speaks of the Immaculate Jesus, conception and so on. And so she comes to the next paragraph, and there we will find some answer. John saw the human and divine coincidence shown in the man Jesus. Did that 12th chapter talk about the man Jesus? Not at all. Not at all. And he showed it as divinity embracing humanity in life and its demonstration. Do you hear the tone? Life. The moment the Revelator was talking about Jesus, he was always talking about life, the 5,000-year period. We have seen that up to now already, every time. That Jesus, to him, was the fulfillment of the 5,000-year period, of the period of life. What is that period? What have we seen in the first evening? We have seen that it is that point of where the symbol and the idea is one. That Jesus was the symbol and Christ was the idea, but it was in one person, in Jesus Christ. So that 5,000-year period was always showing divinity here embracing humanity, that it is one. But that is not what the Revelator is interested in at this point. Again, we have to go on there about Jesus reducing to human perception and understanding the life which is God. Can you see, it's the tone of life of the 5,000-year period. It's Jesus. It's not the woman. It's not the woman. In divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear. She says, in divine revelation, now she comes to Revelation and says, that corporeal selfhood disappears. But Jesus was the highest corporeal concept of the divine idea. So he had to, Mrs. Eddy tries here to show that 5,000-year period has to be overcome and has to be replaced by the 6,000 and 7,000-year period as an aim. It doesn't do away with the 5,000-year period, because we cannot have truth and love without mind, spirit, soul, principle, life. But the whole purpose, the whole aim of investigating being must be now directed to something else than to the point of life, to the point of the man, Jesus, divinity embracing humanity, demonstrating life, which is God, because she says, in divine revelation, the material and corporeal selfhood disappears and the spiritual idea is understood. But she says that spiritual idea is the woman. So she said, let's see that we come out from the Jesus state of consciousness as our main aim, and let's see that we come into the woman's state of consciousness, which is in revelation. Is that clear? Now, apparently this isn't clear. No response is also a response. Yes, I know, yeah. So, and the spiritual idea must be understood. And then she goes on with that spiritual idea. The next paragraph then takes up no more so much Jesus, but the woman. That the woman in the apocalypse symbolizes generic man, the spiritual idea of God. Yes? She illustrates, the woman, illustrates the coincidence of God and man as the divine principle and divine idea. Golly, I read this and I wonder if we see the magnitude of it, what she is trying to tell us. It's terrific what she tries to tell us. You take that definition of woman. For instance, that woman illustrates what? The coincidence. The coincidence of what? Of God and man, comma. Then she said, actually, it isn't God and man, you know. This is an old concept, God and man. That's an old concept. Actually, it is something else. It is principle, divine principle, and divine idea. That should be put instead of God and man. Think of it. What would happen to our lives if finally, after we have been teaching that for 50 years, that there is not such a thing as a God, not such a thing as a man, that these are symbols. Symbols for what? For a more refined symbol, still a symbol, called divine principle and divine idea. And if we would only get that a little bit, then I think we would no more be interested in constantly asking, how do I work out my life? Because if I'm not man, I don't have to work out my life. And we would not constantly pray to God Almighty if there is no God Almighty. And we would really lose that religious sense of God and man. And we would finally come to a scientific sense and say, what constitutes being? The only thing that constitutes being is a divine principle and a divine idea, so I don't have to bother about man and woman and the world and the universe and I don't know what. This is unknown to God. That's the woman. That's woman. To get to that consciousness. To that consciousness, which she says is a coincidence of divine principle and divine idea. That's one big point. The other big point about this sentence is that if you take that term coincidence and ask yourself, didn't I read something about the coincidence right before in the preceding paragraph? Then you go back to the preceding paragraph and then she said, oh yes, there is also coincidence. Because on line 16 she says, John saw the human and divine coincidence, symbolized as the man, Jesus. Can you see? She takes the same term and shows, yes, you can demonstrate coincidence in two ways. You can demonstrate it in the 5,000-year period, and you demonstrate the Jesus state of consciousness, divinity embracing humanity. But you can also be a bit more modern and not always go back 2,000 years past. And you can be also an exponent of the present age and of the age to come And then you have to demonstrate woman and not the man Jesus. And to demonstrate woman is a different proposition. It's not to make better health and better things and better that and better this and better that and better this and better that until you get so tired of making things better and better and better until you get so tired that you say, oh, to hell with it. Yeah? To hell with it. Isn't there something bigger than that? And you awake to the woman's state of thought. You say, no, there is actually only the completion of principle and idea, the coincidence of the divine principle and divine idea, and actually there is nothing going on but the divine principle and divine idea, and actually there is nothing going on but the omni-action of the divine principle and the omni-action of the divine idea, and I don't have to make it work. It works by itself. Then you put your crown on your head with 12 stars. So, can you see when we come to this point here? We have read quite a bit on this page. And I have seen that Mrs. Eddy now wants to prepare thought to the woman's state of consciousness. That she says, all right, that woman is clothed with the sun. What does that mean? That means a state of purity. That purity you can have either demonstrated as the man Jesus, the Immaculate Jesus, divinity embracing humanity, or you can have it as the woman clothed with the sun as the coincidence of principle and divine idea. It's up to you to choose. So, what I want to say is this. See, in general, we read the textbook. And we are quite sure that what the textbook says is true. And that's a good standpoint. Somewhere we have to go out from a definite base and say, all right, what Mrs. Eddy has revealed is the message of God, and it's true, and it's absolute, and that's it. So I take it as fundamental, and I can rely on it. And then we make a mistake. Then we take every statement in that textbook of equal value, because it's the truth. We don't categorize them. And so we have a hill of truth. Here truth, there truth. And we take them all as being on a one-dimensional level. They are all of equal value. And we don't classify them. John came and said, I'm teaching you classifications. And Mrs. Eddy taught classification. She would say, all right, I'm going to interpret to you what that woman in heaven is that is clothed with the sun. I'm going to tell you. But in order to tell you what the woman is, I'm going first to tell you what the man is, what the man Jesus is. And only by contrasting the man Jesus with the woman of the apocalypse, can you see the different level? If I don't contrast it, you may not even recognize that this is something else than the 5,000-year period. So she has to interpret into this text of the woman those symbols that can be taken as a comparison to it. And by comparison, always an idea will stand out clearer and clearer. Isn't that so? So that when she wants to explain woman, she says, I explain you first what man Jesus is, so that by contrast you can see the difference, and by contrast you can see where your way leads you, or where you have to go. Yes? Okay. So, we go on, the revelator symbolizes spirit by the sun. The woman is clothed by the sun, and that she takes as spirit because it's in its purity. The spiritual idea, she said the woman is the spiritual idea, is clad in with the radiance of spiritual truth, and matter is put under her feet. Now she explains the moon that is put under her feet. The light portrayed is really neither solar nor lunar, but spiritual life, which is the light of man. In the first chapter of the fourth gospel, it is written, there was a man sent from God to bear witness to that light. Here, interesting enough, she calls that light is portrayed as spiritual life, not as love. And so one is wondering why she does that. And the next paragraph brings the answer. John the Baptist. Now she goes back to John the Baptist. Revelation says nothing about John the Baptist. So apparently she again takes up a trend of thought with which she wants to compare Revelation and says Revelation is a higher sense than what has gone before with John the Baptist and with Jesus. It must be something else. So John the Baptist prophesied the coming of the Immaculate Jesus. You see, Immaculate is a sense. That's why the Son as spirit, is a symbol of spirit, of purity, of immaculateness. Therefore, spiritual life was the immaculate life of Jesus. That the Immaculate Jesus and John, that means John the Baptist, and John saw in those days the spiritual idea as the Messiah, not as a woman. He saw it as a Messiah who will baptize with the Holy Ghost, with divine science. We know the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know, that he baptized, what was he baptizing with the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost and fire. It was always the burning fire. You can see the consuming fire. It has nothing to do with the woman. Who will baptize with the Holy Ghost, divine signs, as Elias. Can you see, again she compares. As Elias presented the idea of the fatherhood of God, which Jesus afterwards manifested. Can you see, again she goes back to Jesus, because she knows somehow I have to bring out that new sense of woman. And I must show that that new sense of woman is something different than Jesus. Something very different than the man Jesus. So I must first show what is the man Jesus. And so she showed that the man Jesus was bringing out the idea of God's fatherhood, which is life. So the immaculate idea as Jesus was the tone of life, the fatherhood of God, which Jesus afterwards manifested. So the Revelator, now she speaks about the Revelator, no more about John the Baptist. So the Revelator, can you see the distinguishing factor? So the Revelator completed this figure with woman. He completed it. He doesn't say it's the same thing, or it's completion with woman, typifying what? The spiritual idea of God's motherhood. Yes? Is that clear? So Jesus is a representative of the 5,000 year period. He represented the idea of God's fatherhood. Woman is the representation of the 6,000 and 7,000 year period of the present age, and therefore represents the idea of God's motherhood. So they are not the same. Therefore, can you see that it would be wrong for us? I know it's a shock. It was a shock to me when I read it. That it says, don't always look back to Jesus and try to find that Jesus' demonstration is the highest. He isn't. Woman is much higher. Therefore, try to see that you go along with the higher sense, with the womanhood sense, and try to demonstrate the woman and the motherhood sense. This is the issue of today. Don't take the issue of 2,000 years ago as the aim and climax of everything for today. It isn't. And isn't that really hindered our progress? That the whole Christian religion was constantly looking back to Jesus. Well, naturally, it has its value. It has its value to show, are we actually recognizing what Jesus is? Are we understanding what he wanted to bring into the world? That's all right. But we as Christian scientists should be aware that the idea unfolded, that it unfolded from Jesus Christ to Christ science, and that we have to give birth to not to a Jesus, but to the science of Christian science. So the moon is under her feet. Again, that the woman has the moon under her feet. This idea reveals the universe as secondary. Do you believe it, finally, that the universe is secondary, not primary? We take the universe as primary. We think we live in a universe, and that's that. Man of the universe is primary, and we reason everything from that level. We reason from our body, we reason from our human experience, we reason from this world, and say, how can we make it better? We don't consider it as secondary. We consider the man and the universe as primary, and say, how can we model that and mold that anew so that it looks a bit better? It's a fix-it job. You say a fix-it job? Yes. It's not the new world. It's not the new heaven and the new earth. Not at all. It's the old world and the old earth. And there is still a lot of sea there. So this idea reveals the universe as secondary and tributary to spirit, from which the universe borrows its reflected light. Its reflected light. So the universe should be the science following. That should it be.